Ever wonder what's really behind the headlines? Or why certain theories just won't go away? Dive into the world of The No Name Podcast, your go-to podcast for unraveling the mysteries of conspiracies, politics, and everyday life. Each week, we blend our opinions, analysis, with some storytelling to uncover the hidden layers of our world. From the latest political intrigue to the most fascinating conspiracy theories, we bring you a balanced dose of skepticism and insight. Whether you're a seasoned critical thinker or just curious about the whispers that swirl around us, we offer a space where your questions are welcome, and your mind can wander freely. Tune in, spark your curiosity, and let's embark on this journey of discovery together. The No Name Podcast, where every episode is a new chance to think critically and see the world through a different lens. Don't miss out. Subscribe today and join the conversation.
Leave the world behind.
Oh,
it's a new one.
That's, have y'all seen it? We're gonna talk off. We're gonna talk
the smart car scene.
Jeremy didn't watch it because who was producing?
Oh no, I watched it, and I'll tell you this: I didn't know who produced it until I saw the credits at the end, and I'm like, "This is a terrible movie." And literally, it had. I was so pissed at the end of the movie because I'm like, "They could have done so much better. This is the worst ending I've ever seen."
Yes.
And then the credits hit, and I said, "Now I know why."
But
I haven't seen it, so now I gotta go. Don't waste your time.
It is really
good. Obama.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I said. But hold on. We'll talk off. off the mic, but the ending of that movie, it did exactly what it's supposed to do. It showed you a Gen Z in a nutshell. Gen Z doesn't give a flip about saving a family. If they're like, watch this. She went up there, and granted, they didn't listen to her.
Program.
You know, they have some right. I'm not going to tell you. No, you'll see. You'll see. What I'm telling you has nothing to do with the movie.
Spoiler alert.
Right.
Just do it. You know, I'm here even, for it. Here,
I can tell you the end, and you're still going to be like, wait, what? And then when you go back and watch the movie, and then you see it, you're like,
tell me the end. I don't care about the time. Tell me the end. I want to know because that was one of the worst endings I've ever seen on a movie. So, and I was so mad at the end. I'm like, I cannot believe I wasted all this time.
Okay, so as a person who's done short films, right? The one thing that is people like M. Night Shyamalan who's going to give you these twists. Like you could every movie he makes is going to give you a crazy twist. You just got to wait for it. And now he's doing double twists. You're like, wait, what? So what they wanted to do is create a talking point or narrative or to make you frustrated, right? Some people who produce movies, when I produce movies, I never give an ending that you like. So like, for instance, I will tell a story and I get to the end. I'm like, I'm going to let you decide the end because I want you to leave the theater as angry as possible or frustrated as possible.
I'm never watching one of your movies.
I guarantee you'll be engaged the whole time. And you'll be like, God dang it, he did it again.
And I'll never watch it again.
Hey, that's why you do this podcast and you're not a film producer.
I just don't like doing pre-production work if I can really get disciplined because I got some ideas for good movies. But for instance, in that movie, what did it leave you doing? First thing you did, you got angry, right? Watch this. Look what you did. You skipped the message of the movie because you like, I wanted completion, right? But the ideal of it was you're not going to have it at this juncture of the world. They wanted you to be in the scene with it. We have in that, but what's next in that? Watch this. If you was there, what's next? There is nothing next because the smart cars are gone. The grid is down. The messaging is off. So then they showed you, watch this. What was her whole concern? The whole show is to watch an episode of Friends that was irrelevant for the situation. Our generation now cannot comprehend conflict resolution. So, if the grid was to go down, I give a prime example. Power goes off. The kids are scared for the first 15 to 20, 30 minutes. Then after it is what? I'm so bored.
Yep.
They don't care that the fact that you're trying to figure out how to put the power on or get on the phone and call the power. They don't care about any of that.
Let me tell you something, okay?
Dude, when we had
when we had like a tornado, you know, in this area,
yeah.
I think it was probably about 4 or 5 months ago. We were sitting upstairs, me and my wife, and it was, you know, probably 11 o'clock when everything started going off. And I'm like, oh crap, you know? And so I'm like, you go get these kids, you know, this kid, I'm going to go upstairs. I'll get, you know, my daughter and let's get them downstairs to the basement, you know, into the safe room. We got them down here. I'm telling you, literally like 15 minutes, like, can we watch TV?
Yeah, but you see, what's this?
I don't even know if it was 15 minutes. It may have been more like five minutes.
So the movie is more relatable to you because you experienced it.
That movie was not relatable to me. That movie was trash. Garbage.
That movie was really good.
It was really good. Jeremy,
I did not like the ending at all.
Everything up until the end. Okay, take the ending away.
Yeah.
Take the ending away. You can't get behind a movie?
Nope.
Why?
I'm not saying that, like, the smart car thing isn't real.
The misinformation part?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying the whole thing didn't make sense. Like, there were some telling signs in that movie, per se. But the actual storyline of it pissed me off. I almost didn't make it through the whole movie.
What part about it pissed you off? I'm curious.
So, to me, and this is probably going to lose viewership, sorry in advance, but I felt like it was the mom trying to protect her daughter from white people. And the dad? Was it the dad? I don't even remember. I watched it literally when it came out because I was excited about it.
The Julia Roberts, right? You talking about the same one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, they were trying to protect, you know, themselves from white people. Mm-hmm. The whole time. That's what it felt like, you know.
Oh, the girl in it.
Yeah. And, you know, like, she was so distrusting. And I understand, you know, the history behind that. I get it. But, you know, I'm not black, so I don't understand, like, in 2024, I feel like we've come past that. And I know that there's still racism. I'm not blind to that. Okay. But to me, you know, I'm willing to help anybody.
Right.
And I know so many people, like, I don't associate with people who wouldn't.
I got you.
That's not the world I live in. Mm. And I know you as a black person, you still see that a lot more than I do.
Right.
Because you live that life. But for me, I'm like, can we just move past this? And I feel like a lot of times when we put stuff like this into production, mass production, we're going back to what we've been talking about where, it's like, you're putting that message out that this is how people still are. And the more that you advertise that, the more people buy into it. And it's like, so you're putting that message out there and people are buying into it instead of just saying, no, don't be a crappy person. Okay. Because anybody's still a human being. And if that person, whatever color they are, you still help them. It doesn't matter. Like that doesn't matter.
I think.
And to me, when I was watching that movie, it felt like such a, you know, like they were so scared of white people. And that bothers me as a white person because I'm like, I could not imagine somebody being concerned of me stopping to help them on the side of the road because I'm white. And that bothers me.
You know, you're coming from a different place. I think the answer to your question was in the movie as well, because the dad wasn't like that. He was trying to keep his daughter from being like that. So think about this. So I think it showed you two folds, because I felt both of them as a millennial, which is I've experienced racism, got kicked out of gas stations and blah, 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 blah. I can tell you all the crazy stories. But I knew, like, having friends like y'all, I'm like, y'all white people not bad. But I am like this. Like, I do keep my guard up because I understand. I made a joke to one of my friends. I said, hey, in a zombie apocalypse, I said, I got to wait for all the racist people to kind of get out first. Because I do understand there's some people who they don't care if I'm a zombie or not. He's black. He may be trying to rob. Like, I get a stereotype, my hair and everything, that I'm trying to rob people. And you know me, like, Trey is probably like one of the nicest people you'll meet. I don't want to rob anybody. I'm just really trying to pass by. Like, you know,
I'm just trying to survive.
Right. That's it. And I don't want nothing from you. I'm not even trying to talk to you. I don't see me. I don't see you. I'm just trying to make it to Jeremy's house. Like, that's it.
And there it is. I'll take you in. You don't even have to be scared. You know,
right. I mean, because our relationship. So you see, Julian Roberts' character initially has that reference, like, of them too. Like, she has this reservation towards them. Like, is this really your house? And you feel this tension. And it's rightfully so on both case. And then the daughter's point to me was like, we don't, you know, in culture, self-preservation is the first thing. Like you said, you're not coming out to look for me in a zombie apocalypse because your family is here. Yeah. You got to make sure. And I wouldn't want you to, because if the shoe was on the other foot, I'm trying to get my family here, but I'm not expecting Jeremy to come in with a helicopter. Oh, he got me. I'm going to try to get my family to you, right? And then so you see the dynamic of the daughter in that film of distrusting, and especially of the interaction they had earlier. Look how the mom came off. So now she's really on some, like, she's giving me these vibes like, she's trying to keep us out of our own house, and I don't trust her.
That's part of what bothered me by who produced it, was because I feel like that's always been a thing, is like, let's really bathe in the racial tension. And it's like, when can we move past it? Like, is there ever going to be a point that we can actually move past that and just accept each other for human beings? And that's where I would like to be. That's my unicorn lifestyle of, you know, where it's like, why is this even a thing to talk about? Like, you know, if you're...
who did you say produced this?
Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. And so let me tell you why.
And that just leads me somewhere completely. Somewhere else.
Oh, well, we can use, maybe we split the bonus episode. I don't know. Okay, so think of it. Think on these terms. Ideally, I'm with you. I would love to get to a point where we I would say we live in Martin Luther King's dream, where you don't judge a man by the color of his skin, but the content of his character and his heart.
Yep.
That would be ideal. Like that's the place I think a lot of educated black folks and white folks, I'm going to put us in a box, want to be. I think it's some outliners who, like you said, you don't associate. That's what it's black folks who feel the opposite. And I'm like, bro, I really don't get down with that. Like, that's not where I'm trying to go. And that being said, is until we didn't take the Germany approach, America did, which is Germany saw that Nazism was bad. And they said, we're banning the flag. We're not touch. This history was bad. They labeled it bad. They dealt with it. And now they're seeing a resurgence of sorts. But they did say, hey, this is a bad side of our history. We own it. We didn't do well. We effed up the world. This is what we did. America has never done that. And because America won't face that reality that, hey, y'all, we did get a weird start to our history. We did mess up the Chinese. We put them in concentration camps. We did mess up the Native Americans. We did bring black folks over here, and we had some brutal slavery tactics.
Yep.
But hey, that's not the goal of America. A goal of America is to create a place of freedom for all men. We're getting there. We still got some work to get done. Until America, that's I think a lot of regular Americans, and I'm saying that because good folks like us in this room realize that the American dream is for everybody. We want you to get legalized quicker and faster, so that way we won't have to keep calling you illegal immigrants. You can pay taxes, and we can accept you as a citizen. To me, you pay taxes, you're a citizen. Yeah. You avoid that. Now I got some issues because, you know what I mean? But I think we're trying to get this narrative down. And I think the film was pointing to that when the world is on fire, people don't do what mammals do, what the deer did. They don't, you never see a herd of deer that big. They don't unify. Instead, what we tend to do, what we're trained to do is go into our silos and defend. Look at the neighbor. He knew the guy for a long time, but they were pulling guns on each other. Now, granted, you see what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, I would hate, like, think about this, Jeremy. I know you wouldn't do this, but if I came, I made it all the way out here, and I get here, I'm like, Jeremy, I made it, bro. And you're going, Trey, I ain't got it. I'm like, wait. Now, I know you wouldn't do that, but my brain would be like, but I know you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
But good, like.
But that's what we've been talking about a lot is like, what are you filling your head with?
Yeah.
So if we're still producing movies that bring up that kind of tension, okay, then and millions of people are watching it, versus what if they had the movie where, you know, they took them in and they all just sang Kumbaya together and everything was great. So, I mean, what if you were actually producing stuff like that and putting it out on the market and getting people to watch that, and then they're filling their head with, you know, things like that that, you know, are actually kind of how we're wired as human beings. We're not wired as racists. No. We're not wired to hate people. We're wired to love people. We're wired to take care of each other. It's when we watch garbage that changes that. Why would we continue to produce stuff? That was my problem with.
But and that's why I like the film. You got like, did you finish the film? You did finish it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so. And that's why
I got to the credits was when I got super pissed and it all made sense.
We keep the end out of it. But look at the development of the characters, right? They start off very rocky, racial tension is live, right?
Right.
But by the end of the movie, the racial tension is gone.
It is.
And I think in the film.
But they spent way more time.
Well, I mean, I think they kind of got over a little, to me personally, a little bit more faster than I when I had this conversation with, you know, black folks, it was like, how dare them sleep in the guest room and it's their house? And I'm like, well, you kind of want to be a little, you know, you don't want to come in. This is my house. You kind of want to be a little bit more giving. Like I'm looking from a Christian perspective, like you kind of want to still treat them like the Samaritan, right? Like you want to, the beat up Samaritan, you know, right? Forget the name of the story now. Yeah. But yeah. But you want to pick the guy up, take him to the inn. You want to do the right thing. That's how I'm looking at it. And so when you say that, I'm like, okay, they didn't leave it there. Now, if they would have stayed where they stayed in the movie and they walked away and they just separated, I'd have been highly upset, because that does point to your point of they just showing we can't get over this thing called race. We're going to be here forever. But the fact that her and that girl were able to have that moment in the shack and literally kind of bond it out and scream it out together, because they both were in situations they didn't want to be in. It was a And it shows that at the end, humans do, to your point, the good humans find a way, because it is going to be some humans out there that's going to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, because right. it's time to steal, kill, and destroy. But they was able to work it out. And then you even see the neighbor or Ethan Hawke's character, and I forget the guy's name, they kind of come together and unify. So you see the group start off rocky and they end up formulating like a clan, pretty much. It's not based on race. It's based on survival at that point.
Right.
And I think we can all agree that, like, we're stronger together than separated.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, but that's not.
Why would the producers or they or whoever want to entice us, their, you know, mm-hmm. people, to come together and become stronger and become,
that's not,
know, like, be to get.
I don't think that's people's first thought. And the reason I say that is people don't think of the terms of, like, okay, think about the political nature we're in right now. I love politics my whole life. From my mom's side, I would sit in front of TV and recite Bill Clinton's commercial. Like, they would show the speech. She said I was 2 and 3 years
I'm
old reciting.
Not now, inhale.
My mom said I love this guy. I remember, like, I had a signed picture. I don't, we long lost it, of him and everything. Like, I love Bill Clinton because I just love politics. I love the idea of the nation, right? And what people fail to realize is, when we are so at odds with each other about anything, it's just opinions and feelings. It's not concrete, which means you may love DT tomorrow. DT get up and say something wild and crazy. All gingers gotta die. You may feel differently tomorrow. You might say, you might say, what is he on that he gonna attack us today, right?
Yeah.
And I always tell people, never put your hope in man, including myself, but instead trust in the good nature of them if you know them. I trust everybody in this room, but I don't give that, if I'm being honest, I don't give my trust to all white people, all black people, I don't know you.
Right.
So I think they're hitting more so on that, which is the distrust of our people group as we don't see ourselves as Americans. But if you go outside this country, they don't ask you, are you a black American, white American? They say, where are you from? And watch this, Jeremy, this is an experience you will blow your mind. I'll say, I'm American. They say, but where are you from? Mm. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, historically, I really do not know.
Right.
They know that.
Yeah.
I'll have Africans say, you're probably from where I'm from. Or you'll have, I've had Arabian people saying, man, you can never find your history. I'm like, dang, like that. Stop attacking me, because that's the truth.
Right.
Because they know about our past. I want to get to a point, to your point, Jeremy, where, and Kaylin, is we're Americans. That's it.
Yeah.
But watch this. Why do we have to fill out a form that says what our race is?
Yeah.
I'm American. The race is American. That's it.
Yeah.
That's why. And because we won't, watch this, America won't do that stuff. America won't take those forms off. America won't take the division off, because it's money to be made in that. So I think in the film, what I was seeing is, at some point, you got to look at it and say, I'm black, white. We got to get over that tension that we've been built in systems since way before we even born. And let's get to a point where, you know what, we just people out here trying to survive. And we saw that by the end of the film. Now, the end of it.
Terrible ending.
I saw it, and it was, I couldn't stop laughing, because I'm like, that's Gen Z in a nutshell. and that's how I look. I was like, but watch this.
It is.
Gen Z, who has a terrible time communicating, is not going to say, hey, I found a house, y'all, up the street. I think we need to go to the house. She never said that. Now, yeah. She tried to a couple of times. But then the parents did a terrible job of listening. That's typical.
Right.
Typical mm-hmm. millennial generation X parents. And then she decides, I'm going to go off on my own and not tell anybody.
Yeah.
Does that not sound like Gen Z? I think they hit on, and I think that's what frustrated parents like us or people like us, because we're like, they would do that. Your kids would go find a house, and like, we should probably, Gabby might be the only one that says, you probably need to go back. Osmo and Merrick would be like, I don't know. They'll find it.
My child is very different, I guess. She would never.
She might be by your side because she's younger, right? Or she would go back and leave. What you think?
No, she's not about any of that.
Oh.
She won't even go outside to check the mail. She'll be like, or go to the car and get her book bag. Mom, will you come outside with me?
Oh, so yeah, you'll be fine. But you see what I'm saying, Jeremy? And it would be a terrible story if they just saying kumbaya. But I do like the fact that, to your point, I know you probably don't want to see it, and when it does get to progress forward, and it does kind of give this. But I think there's some conversations, even though we feel like we've moved past, that we still probably need to brush. I'll give you a good bad example. Is a dude who cheats on his wife, if she feels like talking about it 5 years later, you know what you got to do?
Talk about it.
Talk about it. And you may say, I'm tired of talking about it. You can't say that to her.
Yeah.
Because she's feeling some type of way. And then we don't have that open door in America to have genuine conversations. Instead, what we say is, hey, we're done with it. But are we done with it? Like, my first name alone gets me tossed out a lot of interviews. I know that. So that's why I put R. Trey now. Because if I don't, I don't even make it to the front door.
Yeah.
I know that. It's happened. I've had a guy call me and say, yeah, you're really qualified, but we just going another direction. I say, why? Well, you know, I'll call you back. Mm. Don't call me. Why didn't you even call me? Just send me an email. I can type back to you. Or I just seen it through so many different avenues.
Yeah.
And even at my job I'm at now, I've seen me get skipped. And I had, you know, guys come in the office, white guys come in the office and say, Trey, I don't understand how you didn't get it because you helped everybody with this and this. I'll be, hey, bro, it's okay. Because I know what the rules are. And that's until those things, those, you know, those underbelly rules, the good faith people like you. I know people like who look like me who will never have conversations with you simply because of they've been jaded so much.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to, like, me. Okay, it's not like that. It's some really good white folks, Hispanic folks, black folks. And it is like to the cop point, it's some really bad apples.
Well, I mean, just like you don't want to be the black guy that robs people. Absolutely. I don't want to be the white guy with all the privilege. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many stereotypes.
You know, people won't say that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, but everybody says that about everybody.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because it's just a stereotype.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, you know, a lot of white people have rose from nothing. Yes. And is it because they're white? Maybe. Probably not.
But they probably had to work hard, too.
I mean, you still have to work hard.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't matter who you are or what you are. You still have to work hard. Most of the time. I mean, most people aren't given the silver spoon. A lot of people are. So,
right.
I mean, there's, you know, there's.
It wasn't given to me.
I had to find my own spoons.
I know a lot more people who have it than who have.
Yeah. So, I mean, it still takes work around. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, if I get stopped by the police, that maybe I'm not a little bit more privileged or, you know, whatever, because of their stereotype in their head. You know, I'm not naive enough to think that. But, you know, as far as coming up in the world and everything else, you know, I think everybody has to work hard.
Wait, something crazy? All my bad experiences with police have been black police.
Really?
When I see a white cop, I'm like, "Who? Thank you." and people say, why? I said, because if I be respectful to them, I know they want to make it home. I want to make home. It's the first ticket I got, the guy said, "You look like my brother." What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything we're doing? Do you love him? Like, let me go. If you don't, I don't look like him.
He still owes me $50.
And I think he still did write me that ticket. All my other encounters with white police have been, you know, it was some situation. The dude said, man, he called my mom and everything. Was like, man, you seem like a very respectful guy, bro. Like, you got your head on. I'm going to let you go.
Yeah.
Or, hey, like, the lady pulled me over. I knew she was scared. She said, oh, you're not dangerous. Like she didn't say that. She didn't say that.
I was like, wow.
She came to the car with a gun. And then when she saw me, she's like, oh, it's. I had like worship music playing. I was like, I saw her with a gun. I'm like, bro, don't move. I'm not trying to be on the news. My hands were like that. And she saw me shaking, I guess. And she was like, oh, you're good. She said, you got your license, church? I said, I don't want to get anything. Are you? I said, I want to go home. I want to go to church. And that's all I want to do. And she said, well, I had all that stuff out anyway because I know the rules for me. And so I gave her the stuff, and she's like, "You're good. Just get your tag checked." I said, "Okay."
Yeah.
But it was an easy exchange. Like, yeah. I know the rules, and so to your point, it may be probably a little bit more confident. Like, leave everything in the dashboard. I am not. I have everything like this. My hands are open. I don't own a gun. I don't even know what guns look like anymore. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, to be honest with you, I still follow the same rules.
Okay.
I mean, just because that, you know, I've had a gun pulled on me by. I mean, I've seriously. I
like
mean,
like by, in your face.
To my back, yeah. So, you know,
what were you doing?
I was white in the black part of town.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's gonna happen.
And
you're selling cocaine or something. what are you doing?
I was having my car searched, you know, and I was out there like this.
Was it black or white police?
White.
Oh.
And I'm out there like this, you know, on the side of the car, you know, I was on my Cutlass, you know, and I'm, you know, I got.
Wait, you had a Cutlass in the hood?
Hey.
Damn, you have to don't get it.
I had to.
You got a Cutlass. You had a predominant black area.
You were profiled.
Right.
I'm out there, you know.
You're one of those, huh?
I'm like this, you know, and all of a sudden, I was like, you know, I was out there, I don't know, 15 minutes or something like that. And so, you know, I was starting to get, you know, a little hunch in the back, and I went to go do this motion, right? Just so I could kind of change a little bit, you know, and I started to put my hand from on the car to
wrong
my
move,
face.
Bro.
I don't know if he thought I was going to pull a gun out of my ear or something, you know, but I just went this motion right here, right? Literally. I mean, I literally whipped his gun out. And he's like, put your hands back on the car. And I'm like, Jesus, you know. I mean, it was like,
I'm glad we can laugh at your trauma.
And let me tell you, I think that happened when I was probably maybe 17 or something like
oh,
that.
You definitely was up to no good.
Ever since then,
I'm
I was
you,
like,
that's what he thought. He thought he was slinging.
Did you
rock.
Have a buzz cut? Do it, dude.
No, that was back when I used to have my Jufro going, you know. So.
Oh, even worse.
That's why you profiled yourself.
He thought he was slinging raw.
Right. He probably had a nice little afro. Look at this little weird kid.
But yeah, it's you know, ever since then,
I didn't mean for this whole episode.
It just got, that's what happens.
Political. Yeah. I didn't want this episode to turn political.
We were talking about movies and the basis of the movie that was talking about the future.
But if we're somehow we got on this tangent about Obama, the only problem I had with Obama is I feel like whether it's not his fault or not, there became a division. The division got bigger.
Absolutely.
Between blacks and whites when he was president. I don't feel like he did enough to bring the people back together. Instead, it divided them more.
I don't know if...
He could have done more.
I blame... Okay, this is America. I blame America. It's certain pots. What you call it earlier? The cistern? What was the pot that you make?
Cauldron.
Cauldrons. It's certain cauldrons when you put ingredients in here. You know it's gonna start bubbling to make a spill. Like right. you and I knew because I was at a PWI, and when he won, I'm secretly in my room like, wow, I never thought I would live to see a black president. I never thought this was a thing, and the things that I heard in the hallway were so contrary to that. I was like, the same night he got elected. So this not like this, you know, all the situation Trayvon Martin, all the social justice, but people got to divide. I think that night I learned a lot about just. I didn't even know conservatism was like a thing for people. Like, I didn't understand it. I just knew that people voted Republican or blue, and you just kind of, you were aligned more, like Christians more aligned with Republican views, and Democrats kind of like were just everybody else who didn't believe in Jesus. and then so I think what happens is black folks went, I think, far to the, like, the you know how, like, you know, you celebrate taunting? They went so far to the taunting because they never seen it. And honestly, we probably will never see it again in our lifetime, I tend to think. I think we may have another minority in our lifetime, but I don't think another black person. That's just me, my opinion. Could be completely wrong. Who knows the future? Who knows who they're going to select next, right?
We'll have to watch Simpsons to find out.
We do. And then so to say that is when that divide happened, I knew it was like Trump, when he came into office, I said, he's the retribution to Obama. Like it had nothing to do, like even now, I'm looking at him like, I don't care for any, I don't hear policy anymore. I don't hear like what we're going to do for the middle class. The reason why we experienced such good under Bill Clinton's era, because he focused on building the small business and middle class, and it worked. Because you give us money, we spending it. You got kids.
All right.
Give us more money. You know what we're going to spend it on? Disney, Six Flags, Sam's Club, Costco's, because we have no other choice because we have mouths to feed. If you give it to any other group, those groups don't give it to the poor. They're going to waste it on whatever they waste it on. You give it to the rich, they ain't never giving it back to us. So that's how the game played, right? But to your point is, so now we have this divide because of race. It had nothing else to do, which is race. And then you get Trump and it gets bigger. And then you have all these, what I call micro situations, like the social injustice, George Floyd. You got the Charlestonville situation with the tiki torches. And all this stuff does is just pushes us further apart. There's not one candidate saying, I'm tired of this in America. We're people that got to be together. If we don't, Russia and China and our biggest enemies are looking at us to take us over. And people don't, watch this. I know people in my community who don't care about those countries. And I'm like, you should, because they are capable. Yeah. They're not, I don't, like I told you before, I don't think Russia is strong to beat us in a one-on-one, but they will get some help for some people to kind of give us some, and none of our allies I look at is strong enough to kind of say, oh yeah, you can tag, you know, WWE, you can tag in. We'll feel confident that you'll help us. You tell me what country coming to our aid. We were like, yes, not one, right? We yep. are it.
Yep.
So that being said is we have to find a way as the American people, and this is where I stand on it, to come back to, let's deal with the race issue. Let's talk about it. We may not agree on everything. We don't have to. We just have to agree on this one thing, that as a one people group, Americans, we can move forward. Did some effed up stuff happen in our past? Yes. Do we need to do better with our border? Yes. Do we need to give the money back to the American people so they can spend more money so we can keep our economy up? Yes. Do we need to watch this control corporations so they can stop price gouging? I was about to send you the link about Kroger doing an AI type price change where the price can just change because you want to grow that aisle. They see mm-hmm. Jeremy's up there. They're going to change the price to $5 now.
Yep.
This is stuff that I'm thinking, where's the government? Stop this from happening because I can protest Kroger by myself outside. But they don't care about me. And so to your point, could he have done something? I don't know what he could have done. But somebody needs to come after this election period because this one's a dead one. It is. We need to have a voice that's going to say, for us as American people, I care about America first. We'll deal with the foreign policy. We'll do what our requirements are about some of the laws. But that's all we're doing. So Ukraine, thank you for kicking Russia's butt. But hey, Europe, how much y'all putting in? Like, let's be honest about stuff. Some of the stuff, like I said, some of the stuff Trump's saying is not bad. Some of the stuff that Kamala's saying, if she's saying anything, it's probably not going to be bad either. We can use both. We need both at this point where we are because our enemies are looking at us and they like the movie said, they're keeping us divided on purpose.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
And watch this, we all agree. So what we need a person, if I only say we need a person, we the people need to say, you voted for DT, you voted for Kamala, but you broke, I'm broke. So let's forget about that for a second. That's how to get this. Let's figure out how to get the money.
So you are going to have a field day. So like, I'm not very political at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know anything about like who wants this or who wants this.
Don't worry, we don't either.
Or anything like that.
Nobody knows anymore.
We got a concept of a plan and I've been working with the middle class. I mean, I grew up middle class.
I always had this theory of that, like, they want us to think we have a say, so they let us vote.
Oh, we talked about this a little bit.
Yeah.
So they let us vote. They let us think that we have a voice, but in reality, they control who is going to be the president.
I can tell you didn't listen to our episode.
Yeah, we agree. We agree.
Everything that I said.
I think that was a one world government episode. Right. You might need to go listen to that one, Caitlin.
and Dustin killed us about, how many times did you kill us? About 15 times. Even when I tried to find rays of hope, Dustin's like, does it matter? Because you're going to die anyway. I was like, right. True.
You still got to fight.
Yeah, and I think, even though I do see, like, I think that's even a thing to make us disbelieve in our democratic process, which is if I can get people to stop believing in that, then you slowly lose power in your democracy, your republic.
Right.
Because now people are like, oh, it doesn't matter. Well, that's the attitude. How easy it is for somebody else to present something that may be a pawn of China, that may be a pawn of Russia or whoever else hates us and say, I'm running, and people just like that person.
Yeah. It's crazy out there. I mean, it just...
We need somebody 50 and down. That's my... 50 and down... Not J.D. Vance.
I hope that actually would fix the problem. I mean, because at this point, it doesn't matter who it is.
But
you need somebody that's actually going to, you know, say enough is enough.
Like it has to be somebody that's an average person.
Yeah. I mean, let's stop putting, you know, governors. Let's stop putting senators. Let's stop putting lawyers. Everybody that's gone to Harvard and everything else. In office, yeah. I mean, let's put a blue collar in there. Somebody that's off the
whole government, Congress, too.
Absolutely,
because
whole shebang.
Because now you got people thinking about the working man. Because you know
what? Dog cold Steve Austin.
Oh God.
How about not celebrities either?
Right.
No, thank you. That became a thing too.
I mean, I would love it if we could just get,
Joe Schmuckatelli.
Joe Schmuckatelli in there. I mean, you know, honestly,
what's the guy from Oklahoma, the Tiger King? Get him out.
Oh, wow.
He's a celebrity.
He's a celebrity, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, he got us through COVID at least, so.
I mean, I had a good time.
He's a great singer.
Oh,
that
man.
Damn Carol Baskin, you know?
He will use his government power to.
Yeah, she'd be done. He would Clinton her so quick.
She better get out of the country. He wins. She's number one.
She better get out of the war.
Public enemy number one.
Maybe they'll let her into Antarctica, you know, secret society up there. So, but thank you, everybody, for listening to part two bonus episode.
Yeah.
It's definitely on this show. We always say it can be a sidebender. You know, I mean, it just
that was good.
Completely went sideways, but we're here for it. I mean, we follow the trail, and I it's a good conversation. I appreciate Trey's openness to, you know, talk to us about it, and hope he understands where I'm coming from too.
Sure.
You know, it's It's interesting when you start trying to take the agenda out of what I think a lot of people, or you know, they try to get us to do, which is to divide, and you try to, you know, conquer that division and try to bring unity and just say, you know, this is not my heart, this is not who I am, you know. And so I hope this might be a self-help for somebody, you know, and just kind of help bring it home for everybody. So but yeah, thank you, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Peace
out there, Ribbons and Wobs.